Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? What's the happenings lately?
Life is pretty good. I'm going to visit my sister and brother in Dallas next weekend. It's going to be my first trip in a bit. Hoping to get half as good as tan as you would have. So working out.
I wish you luck there. I don't know if you're going to do it in one weekend, but this is months of work at this point. But that's going to be a fun trip. That's fun. I didn't know your sister was in Dallas.
Yeah, in the pandemic, my sister and her family and I have five sisters. So not one of my sisters. My sister Naomi, who's been on this podcast.
She went to Dallas?
Dr. Bernstein lives in Dallas now with her husband and three kids. And my brother also moved there because his wife's family lives there. And they're also there. So
well,
I'm excited
That's great for you to have two siblings move to one place. You can kind of bang them out in one trip. That makes things easier on you, which is all we care about as an audience. We're Team Jordana. But also, it's funny that I was like, your sister moved, and I was only thinking of that. I guess I was thinking of, I could be thinking of three different sisters, knowing that you have five siblings. But
Three brothers.
Oh my God. It feels like the number gets bigger every time we talk.
It stays the same, but there's always another one lurking like around the corner.
What made them move to Dallas? Just like better living type of deal? They were like,
better cost of living. Like my sister is a therapist, so she can really work from wherever, and her husband had recently sold his business.
Good for them.
And then, my brother's wife's family lives there. So I think they were always thinking about it. And the pandemic just really kind of feels like a great time to like explore your options.
Freed people up. And I will say this, I can never stop watching there's a TikTok video that I can't stop watching. And it's, this is what this amount of money will get you in Texas. And it's for houses. Like it's like a version of Zillow porn where it's like, it's it's on my algorithm all the time.
Yeah.
It's like you want $300,000 in Dallas, Texas. And it's like, oh my, don't even show me. But then I'm like, I can't stop watching.
Right. It's kind of like when you realize that you like paid way too much for like clothing items just on sale or a house, obviously. And I mean, Maddie is from Texas, who's runs our Instagram account and also produces a podcast, so she'll have to give me some tips about where to go,
some suggestions. Great. You're gonna have a fun time. Everyone's starting to travel a little more and do a little bit more and inch their way out and kind of take their toes and put them in the water. And then they get down to we're all kind of doing that little inch by inch, day by day thing, which is really nice. I have to say, like, right now, there's just so many changes, so many different things going on that this is the time for this podcast. I don't know who you guys know or who you are talking to on a daily basis, but it's time to spread the word. I mean, I tweeted this out today, Jordana, but I don't think there's ever been more obstacles on a first date than there have been right now. Like, as far as
that was a great tweet.
Yeah, social stuff, right? Yeah, like,
right.
You can, there's on a first date, and someone responded with a comment. Like, so I was saying, like, on a first date, you could hypothetically have vaccinations, Middle East conflict, police brutality, protests, politics all come up on a first date pretty reasonably. Like, and someone was like, you should never ask someone about their medical history. I was like, I'm not saying you should.
When I did that tweet about that, that got like, that was the big criticism. Like, it's none of your business. It's like, it's one of it. One, it's a joke. And
yeah. Well, also hypothetically, like, but that is actually what we're talking about. We're saying that on a first date, this could come up and you're going to learn whether this person's the match for you very quickly based on these topics. So like if someone is someone that's like, you should never ask. And the guy's like, have you been vaccinated? Like, you're not a match. That's okay.
Right. Well, that's a good point, too. It's like not only like their opinions on these things, but their opinions on whether or not you can even speak about these things are also very telling.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that tweet was great. I liked it on Instagram and Twitter. So you know it's legit. But I know you have some news to share. So I want to open the floor to that discussion.
Man, this
in a non-awkward way as possible, which I already did. I already did it awkward. Sorry.
It's okay. Well, I mean, we talk a lot about personal stuff on here. I mean, we talk about dating and relationships. So obviously our personal lives come up. So I just wanted to, you know, let people know. And it's weird. Like, even right now, I'm making this more awkward than it needs to be. But
it's,
like,
it's a weird topic to talk about publicly, I think. I hope the audience gives us some grace in how we get it out.
Sure. Well, Jess and I have broken up. It's been very difficult. I ended the relationship just for no reason other than it just wasn't the match for me. And even saying that sounds so much more harsh than I want to be, because this is someone I love and care about and formed an amazing relationship with. And also, like, I have to acknowledge, like, the other party isn't here to, like, have this discussion with me. So
right.
I don't want to sound like this wasn't, because I have a platform and we talk about dating and
right. You have like an unfair, almost like outlet
for an outlet for support, I guess.
Right.
Or people could see me as like, I don't want to sound in any way heroic, because that's not what breakups are about. Like and that's not what, And I'm in an uncomfortable position because, like, again, also, like, I don't, you know, I'm nobody, you know, like, in my mind. To someone listening at home, even that sounds like I'm trying to be humble, but I'm like, I know we have a big platform and we have a huge audience, but, like, you know, I don't think of myself as, like, you see those, like, articles in People magazine of, like, so-and-so
right.
breaking
this isn't
up.
The
and you're like,
Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston love triangle, but we do have an audience.
Yes, and talk about these things.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's tough in this situation, I think, to go beyond the fourth wall a little bit here to talk about your personal life when there's someone else involved, when you have to respect someone else's privacy. When again, like you said, they're not here to like tell their side of the story. Like every story has two sides. So I think we want to let the audience in on what's going on, but also like respect that you're, you know, let them know that this is your, this is basically just your point of view.
Absolutely. This is just my point of view. And also I'm like only going to talk about myself. Like there's nothing, like, this is a great person, beautiful person that I was seeing, and that's the reason I was with them. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to, like, you know, there's, like, this thought of, like, you know, are you making the biggest mistake of your life? Are you taking a right onto a road that takes your life down a bad path? I don't like to think that way. But
right.
That does cross your mind. Like, I'm a believer in everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for the best, like at some point. And it's been hard because you go from like having someone in your life every day to like not, like that's difficult.
Yeah,
and
I would imagine. Yeah.
I feel a lot of guilt because, you know, I was heading that way, you know, like I was there for it. Like I was enjoying being in a couple, like cool.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from the audience perspective, who wants to know, you know, what happened or why you decided to end it?
I mean, the most I could say about that is just that I wasn't there, and I'm like, you know, and if not now, when? And you know, I don't want to ever be that person that's like. Like I've met these people before, and I don't want to be that person who's like, I guess it's time. Like you hear that from certain people and you go, I don't want to be that guy, you know, like, and
right.
You know, like, and there's an excitement level that I want to have that. And also this, a lot of this probably has to do with my own issues, you know, like my own, mm-hmm. like commitment stuff and my own, like, you know, we had Logan Urie on the podcast and she was like a really good, you know, that was a really good interview because I'm like, she brings up a lot of like practical points. Like, if not now, what, you know, what are you looking for? What's this ghost you're looking for? And I don't know. And it's like, I feel horribly because there is another thing. And like, this relates to like a lot of people who like go through breakups or have someone end something and just say they're just not the match. And you go, and I do feel like I'm turning on the lights at the party. Like I'm like, okay, everybody out of here. Like I'm the bad guy. It feels like, and all, you know, in this situation, because I'm like, I'm kind of like someone, everyone's dancing and I'm like, all right, enough already. We got to end this. And it's like, that's hard for me because like I could just kept going and been, I guess good. Like good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But do we want to be, you know,
right? Is there always, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this brings up so many questions of just like relationships in general. And I think, I mean, what happened with you guys is in some ways a lot of women's greatest fear. I mean, like it's interesting. You hear these, even if you're married, I mean, it could happen when you're married too, when you're like, oh, yeah. Like this feels good. Maybe there's something that feels better. I don't know. It's like the unknown, I think, is like the terrifying thing. The question of like, why is not always, especially in this kind of situation where there's no, like, no one did anything like extremely terrible. No one like wronged someone in like some very clear, obvious way. I think the question is that makes it so much harder to like explain, I'm sure for you to explain or for.
Yeah.
Just kind of yeah. like a feel, because the feeling of like, I just didn't know. It's like it's a hard thing to get closure from.
Yeah. And you know, you want to give mm-hmm. the closure and it's like, but then there's also this element of like, there's nothing I'm going to like say, like if I look back, I could like look back at like scenarios and things or I'm like, oh, maybe like if I look back, there's a lot of times I just wish I was a little bit less of a pacifist, a little bit more mm-hmm. like owning the things that like make me happy, owning like maybe even like the little things that I was like, ah, that's not a big deal, like
right,
and we could have hashed those out. And I think the biggest response was that I, you know, the biggest thing that like if I was to look at it from the other side is like I didn't really give a chance, you know, there's kind of
for the person to meet you where you to say where you were needed to be and then for them to meet you there,
exactly. And that's probably the biggest thing that I because it's like a choice of one or the other. You're and some people listening would disagree with this, but there's my personal feeling was like, you know, some people are like, well, you work on it, and it's like I can't or you let the person know so that they can work on it or whatever. So, and I'm right. saying they, like us, and I don't mean like any problem is a we problem. It's not that I yeah. would never like
Well, at what point in a relationship is that necessary? Because you have to think like, I mean, if the first three months of dating someone, if you're feeling that way, obviously like there may not be a match for you. But like mm-hmm. At what point do you give the person do you tell the person that you want them to change in this way and then hope that they meet you there versus sort of just saying, well, we're two different people and it's not going to be a match.
Yeah. I guess there's a point of like, you know, I'll use the word selfish. Like I'm being mm-hmm. selfish, like in my mind, I guess whereas I don't want to get at a point in life down the road where you can't be selfish.
Because you have kids or because you have kids, other responsibilities,
house together, right, other yeah. responsibilities. Like, you know, like, you know, and this is happening for a lot of people in the pandemic. You're talking about your sister moving to Dallas. Like that's like we're getting out of here. We have made a decision for whatever reason we made the decision, But it's like, and but that has to be done with the whole group, you know. And I'm at an age where it's like, I do want to get married. I do want to be in a, like, you know, my parents have been together, how, you know, are still together. I want that. So
yeah,
there's a little bit of like, you know, fear that like, you're not going to get to that. That I think that also plays in where you're like, I see how hard it is for them sometimes where I'm like, okay, I need it all to be perfect. And it's like, it's never going to be perfect. So like, you know, you got to like talk it out in some sort of therapy and figure out
like,
what
you like where they're at though. Aren't you not like, do you feel like your parents have a strong marriage?
Of course. But I, you know, I just know it's hard, you know, like you can have a strong marriage and know that like you look at them, you go, oh man, I just got to make sure I get to that. And even that is hard to do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think a lot of people like feel like they're like, they're kind of living, you know, trying to live up to something that might not be even be possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell, like, how do you know when you're at the peak of like a relationship peak? Like this is as good as it gets. And they're like, right. Obviously, when, especially when you're past that like honeymoon stage of the first 2 years, like it's, I think it, that's something where it's hard to tell, like, you know, is this incredible or could it be better with someone else or could it be more of a match with someone else? But I do think it's, I mean, I think it's a little interesting. I do feel like in a long-term relationship, women, and I don't want to like generalize for all the genders, but a lot of the women that I know who have been in long-term relationships and wound up breaking up with the guy they were with in heterosexual relationships were kind of like, all right, like I want to make this work. Like, so they're like to the guy, like, please change, please change, please change. And then the guy doesn't change. And then finally they're like, I can't do this anymore. And they break up with them, but they like don't really want to, but they do it because they've been like trying to do that. And I do think for a lot of men, it does kind of feel like, and I've heard this again, this is anecdotally, I don't have any research to back this up,
sure.
But I do feel like with a
lot
of guys.
That's how we do things on this podcast anyways. Yeah.
That I know they'll date women like a few years or, you know, many, many years. And then it does kind of feel like out of nowhere to the women that they're being broken up with. But the guys have had these thoughts, but they don't necessarily want the person to change. They just don't think they're the right long-term partner for them. And I wonder why, if you have a sense of like why guys are, what might be more hesitant to share those things.
I don't know. I guess the
idea of it, and I cut you off, is just like kind of terrifying in the sense that like, I could be with someone, think we're great together, think we're headed in this direction, or that we're already married and we're doing well, and they could sort of like secretly be planning their, you know, escape.
And I don't want to make it so that's not,
and not, you know, that that's the, what the it is, but you know planning. What I mean. And
I understand what you mean. I think like, you know, a lot of that has to do with like, you know, as bad as this might sound, that has to do with guys have no clock. A lot of guys are not on this schedule. Where it's like, okay, let me just work with the one I got, you know, like, I think that's like an element of that, you know, and that's not all of it, but that's an element.
That's a good point. And I mean, I didn't even think of it from that angle, but that I think could explain a lot of it.
And that's like a societal thing, you know, like where you go, all right, like, and you know, the other thing is like, there's nothing to like. Like, I don't really come from this idea of, like, there's anything to, like, fix about someone else. Like, I think, like, a lot of guys get put in that position where it's like, well, if I could get them to dress this way and I can get her, like, I don't think that's ever how I've thought of dating someone. Like, if I can just get them to, like, you know, just take care of their eyebrows, then we'd be totally good. Well, like,
a lot of women, it's like, if I could just get him to be more sensitive, if I could just get him to, you know, put more of an effort into like making me feel a certain way. I mean, obviously there's levels of physical stuff too. But
I use the physical stuff as like the jokey version of it. Like it does like sensitive maybe. And like, you know, I think like that goes into the subject of difficult conversations. Like, hey, I'm not getting what I want. And, you know, in my relationship, like, you know, I don't think like, I think a big part of things I need to work on is being like a lazy dater and like being somewhat of a workaholic and, you know, basically like every night is a night to go do shows and go to work and go do things. And, you know, the pandemic made that easier to like not have to do, but then it like grows in other ways to like try and make myself feel
right. That feeling like, of still wanting to progress and move forward in the world is still there, even if you're unable to, which probably makes it even worse if you're someone like you who's out every night doing that.
Yeah. Now you're on your phone doing stuff while other, you know, while you could be doing a date night, you know, or doing whatever, like, and, you know, other stuff being like TikTok, you know, like it's not like I'm like, you know, or like, or just being distracted by trying to figure out ways to keep things growing and moving forward. And again, like a lot of this is going to be me rambling. I don't know. I'm not trying to say the right thing. I'm just trying to say the thing that like I feel. And I, you know, I feel a little bit, again, like the feelings I've had of like guilt, and because I'm like, you know, someone was there for me. Someone was ready to be with me and supported me 100%. And I'm kind of just being like, you know, I'm the one kind of flickering the lights, time to go. And I also feel like, you know, this podcast and what we talk about makes it like I knew, like having read emails that are similar to my situation and from the other side, it's like you kind of feel like you've heard all the you know the hurt that you're doing to someone, like in.
Yeah, I mean, breakups are incredibly hard. They feel like incredibly personal, even, and I mean, obviously they are to an extent, but I think a lot of the times it's about the person doing the breakup. It's about their own thing, and it can feel hard to like pull that apart, or it can feel hard to move on without getting a sense of like, this is the exact thing that I could have changed or done differently to like have not caused this pain on myself. But I think a lot of the times there is no real answer to that. You're never really going to figure that out. And even if you did, I don't know if it would actually help.
And if I had done those things early on, maybe we wouldn't be at this point right now. Like, and you know what I mean? Like if I had looked at the person and been like, hey, I have real issues here. And if I had, you know, and I'm like one of those people, like, I mean, I make uncomfortable moments. I make jokes, like, and like, that's not always the best form of communication. Like, you might think you're saying something, but it's a joke, and you both laugh at something that maybe you're not, you're actually trying to communicate. Like,
right?
And
in an uncomfortable situation, you would sort of like, you're saying like, make a joke about it and sort of diffuse it instead of saying like, hey, this is actually like something that's really bothering me.
Yeah, and I think it also comes down to like confidence too. Like I would never be like, is my problem a problem? You know, like I think like that's another thing where you go, I think when you get in a relationship, it's, and we talk about this with dating, like it's a very like, you're alone. You don't have another, you know, person's dating app to look at to see if your conversations match up. You don't have another, like, you can't feel someone's feelings. Like, you know, everyone always says like, when you know, you know. Like that's a big thing that's annoying to hear. When you know, you know. And it's like,
right,
but you only know and once you know, you know, you're like, is this me knowing and is this the feeling, or do I have indigestion? You like,
yeah,
you don't know, the difference. It's just
I don't know. Yeah, the answer to that. I mean, I went through something similar with Mike. I think before, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, we got engaged, and coming from the other end of it, that can feel like incredibly personal. And I mean, in my case, obviously, like, he got there and he was excited, and now, like, you know, he's obsessed with me. But
of course.
No, I mean, but I think there was a sense in that from my end too of like, should he just like immediately obviously know this in the way that I like, in the way I feel I do? Although obviously, like, as a rational person, I understand like the, there's no like absolutes. So I think it is tough. It's tough to say, like, you know, Is there like a person that's the number one best fit for me out there that I like need to hold out and wait for? Or like, is this really, really good? Or does it like,
yeah. And, but then that also gets to like, you know, to the subject of like, what's the ultimate part? And it's like, mm-hmm. there are things that you go, I, you know, and over time that you go, I actually need this one thing, you know, like I need mm-hmm. this one thing, or I need that two things. And it's like, a lot of that is like being confident enough in yourself and knowing those things. And
right for you.
For you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I really do think that, like, you know, having fun in a relationship is a big part, you know, is everything. You want to have fun with your partner, but like, then you have to, like, there's also practical things that work in too. And it's like, it's not just fun on the couch. Like, it's, there's a whole life that you're trying to get to. And I think, you know, when you're younger, like, I have a lot of like, I'm a little jealous, like the younger, like my friends who got married younger, like they kind of like, you know, they were like if you get married younger, I think you're like kind of growing together, you know, like.
Well, it could happen that way, or you could realize, I mean, I think there's
two
ways.
Or you grow apart.
Right. Or you're like, we're both totally different people than we were when we got married. And like,
totally
shouldn't have jumped into that. Or you could be like, oh, we're changing. It's tough, but we like make it through to the other end.
Yeah, you're like, I kind of think of it as like two different colored silly putties, like getting smushed together. Like those couples, like at one point, you know, when couples look alike, they kind of like interweave and become one person. Like they even call it shared brain, where it's like when you're with someone, like you kind of give away memories of yours to your partner because they hold on to those memories so you don't have to. And like, you see that with couples and with young couples, and I think, like, you know, I'm 36, like it's on my mind that I want, but then you go, like, you're kind of like, as you get older, you're like non-negotiables, I think, grow. Like, I think they, like, you know,
yeah,
and you get used to, you become this like weirdo. Like, I feel like, you know, like I'm like, and again, I'm rambling a lot, but and this is all in an effort to like kind of relate to the audience while also like I'm looking to like look at myself in the mirror. Like, it's like, how do I do better for me, like, and not hurt someone, you know, like, and how,
right,
and you know, how do I kind of go forward with, you know, and because again, like, to go back to something we were talking about before, like, I am looking to be in a serious relationship, and it's like, you know, the idea of like working on it. It's like, well, I don't know, another year of working on it, you know, like I, and then I get an hour, a year working later,
on,
like
working on your,
like
the relationship that you were in,
that you're in, that right. Say like, well, now we're a year later. And it's like, you know, I'm the one on the clock at that point, you know, like I do feel a little bit of like, you know, if not now, I can't stick around for when, you know, I don't know.
Right. I mean, I think that in that sense, you really do, you do the other person a favor by making any, I feel like any decisiveness in that sort of situation is really doing that person a favor, because it is not fair to let someone kind of like live in a limbo world with you. So I think it can sometimes the more hurtful thing is the, it can feel like the more hurtful thing is to make the decision and put someone through pain. But actually, like, if you think about it in the long term, you're actually, it's better for them than them wasting another year of their life on someone that wasn't sure, or than someone who wasn't like all in.
Yeah. And you know, it always just comes back to like, this is a lifetime decision. You know, like these, I'm thinking in lifetime.
Yeah. I mean,
And I'm also like, you know, and again, I keep coming back to like, I got to you know, whenever I talk about people's like, oh, I have the craziest dating stories. Whenever someone says they have the craziest dating stories, I'm like, yeah, because you're in them. There's something that you're doing.
There's something they have in common.
Yeah. There's one crazy part about this whole, all these stories, and it's you. And it's like, I come back to that a lot where I'm like, you know, what am I not getting over the hump of, you know, like, and this is a me problem that, you know, so to like say like, you know, why, like, I don't, you know, I gotta kind of dig into my own thoughts and figure that out, if that makes any sense.
Right. Well, how are you feeling like today about it? Like, when did this actually happen?
Like, it's been about a month and a half, and I feel sad. And, you know, I hope, you know, it's interesting. Our listeners are very good detectives. They should start opening up their own private practices.
Yeah. I've gotten some inquiries. Yeah.
Which DMs,
I'm sorry if I've ignored you. If you've DM'd me about this, it's not really my story to tell.
Yeah. And, you know, in social media, like we've talked about this before, like there's this, like, you know, the only reason we're having this conversation is because things do see, and I made the joke when we first started this podcast, like, you know, you'll see my girlfriend on my Instagram, like at the wedding.
The day before, when I'm proposed, that's when.
And that feels like, you know, and then someone becomes a part of your life, and, you know, now I'm like, you know, I don't believe there was any mistake, and, you know, there's mistakes I made, but like, as the grander, like, our relationship isn't a mistake at all to me. But it's like, there's things I take back now, as far as like putting that stuff on social media and what to put on and what to, you know, how to be about that. And that's hard. Like,
You'd put more.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. It's hard. It's like, cause I'm, you know, you have to, I think with relationships, you have to like give it your whole being, you have to give it your all. And it's like, to hold back, like, that part of my life would be me not really giving it my all. Like, I don't, that's not how I know how to operate. But like, you know, the social media stuff doesn't make it any easier. Like, you know, I'm a public person. You're a public person, Jordana. Like, you know, Mike is not, you know? So right. Like, you know, that's something that, like, I feel, again, goes into the guilt category of like, you know, but, and then, you know, people say, well, they know that they sign up for it. I had a podcast before, but like, you know, no one knows, you know, like.
Right. It's hard to be respectful and be real at the same time in a position like this, especially when, you know, the content that we're doing, it's not like we run like a wellness podcast, like we run a podcast about dating and relationships. So it can seem very hard to separate the two, or to respect someone's privacy, or again, to not portray things in a way that feels like you're eliminating their side of the story. So
that's a big part of this too. Like, I can't tell people how to feel. But my goal isn't to like make anyone, you know, feel bad. Like there's no bad guy. I don't know. Or maybe I'm the bad
right.
guy. Right. You know, like I'm willing to be that if that makes it so, I'm willing to be the bad guy if that makes it so someone like doesn't think badly of the person I was with, because that's not what this is about. That's not.
Right. You know, I think people like to hear about a messy breakup. The drama makes them feel like.
Yeah, they want juice.
Yeah, they want juice. They want to know, like, what was the scandal? What was the thing? And I think a lot of the times there are those things. But I think at the end of the day, what it really comes down to is just two people not being right for each other at that time. Especially like timing, I think is a big part of it. And like there's other when people get hurt, I think there's a lot of other stuff that can feel very like dramatic and stuff like that that comes up all around that. It's always easy to find that stuff. But at the end of the day, the crux of it is just that like two people were in a match and separating from something that's interwoven is very hard and very difficult.
But that's the hard part too. It's like, you know, I'm saying this isn't a match and the other person's saying it is. And I'm like, you know, that's really hard. You know, like that's hard for me to like turn my back on. And from the other side, I'm imagining that's horrible too. You know, like I know that's horrible. So like,
yeah.
And
well, that's why it feels so personal. Cause it like can shatter your sense of like self-awareness.
Yeah. I wish I had better answers. Like that's the other, you know, like you don't. And we speak definitively on this podcast. Like, I think we've actually like said the opposite. We've never said we're experts. Like you do feel like, you know, doing this podcast, like it's fun, but like, you're like, who the fuck am I to even say anything about this shit? Like but we've also said like, this is a commiseration. Like there's a lot of people, like so many emails that get written in here. I'm like, I feel that. I know that, you know, like, and I'm sure someone's listening to this conversation being like, I feel that. I know that. Or maybe there's someone in a relationship that they're not sure about that this like gets them to like, I don't know, make a decision for themselves that they never would have made just because they hear us kind of talking about it. I don't know. I'm not looking to have some guy knock on my door being like, you made my girlfriend break up with me. Like, I know, like, I'm like, you know, I do believe things are going to be fine for everyone involved. It's just sad and hard and stinks.
Yeah.
You know,
the end of anything is always really sad for both people. Obviously, like, it can feel a lot more painful for the person who's getting broken up with, especially if they don't anticipate it, just because that's like a rejection. Rejections in any form are always very painful. But I mean, that is life. Things happen. And I'm sure, like, at the end of the day, you both will be better for it.
Listen, everyone's going to be fine. You know, the last thing to say is like, people can reach out to me and whatever question I'm not going to answer.
You can ask anything you want.
But. You can ask whatever you want. But I also want people to like respect, like, you know, the idea of like, again, I think this year or last few years, everyone's become very much aware of platforms. And how you have to be careful with them, because it's like, it's three dimensional, you know, like, so like we have a podcast about dating. That's the reason we're talking about this. I've been personal on past shows. So of course I'm going to be personal, you know, but I'm also trying to respect someone who also doesn't have a podcast about dating where it's really stinks and is hard for them too. And like, I hope people can kind of like, you know, respect that. That's my hope. But
yeah,
you know.
And I mean, I thank you for.
I think it definitely makes sense.
No, that definitely makes to me that makes a lot of sense. Whereas basically, what you're asking for is for people to respect the fact that you're sharing as much as you can. You want to be honest with them, but you also want to respect the privacy of someone who doesn't have their own platform, who can't tell their side of the story, and. I think our audience is respectful enough to understand that.
It's truly, you know, this is the hardest thing I've in my life, you know, like it's a real And I'm sure it's the hardest thing in their life too. And I know that.
And I mean, I think like if anything comes up as it pertains, like you share, I think you do a good job of sharing when it's relevant and the right amount of information to get your point across with your own experiences.
That's taken a long, you know, I've done podcasts on this subject basically for 8 years now. And like in the beginning, I definitely wasn't like as good about that as I am now. Like now, any advice or opinions I have is based on experiences I've had in the past. And that will come out over due time of, you know, my feelings on certain things as emails come through. So, but as far as a, you know, someone getting the juicy scoop, I mean, to me, this is the scoop. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah, this is the scoop. And, you know, I think breakups can be transformative and they teach you about yourself. And again, like, I think you have more wisdom about yourself and about what you're looking for and about all of that. So you'll bring that into the rest of your life. And honestly, so will she. Yeah, I think.
And,
yeah.
And I'm doing, you know, there's this whole thing, like I'm doing all the like influencer stuff of like, I got to work on myself. I got to do, you know, I got to like go to, you know, I got to go to professionals and I got to like talk it out with people that I trust and love. And, you know, this is all to say it's been hard and sad, but not just for me, for everyone involved, families, friends, all that stuff. So,
yeah, well, obviously, I wish you luck. I know you'll be okay. We have the rest. I see you every week.
Yeah. Well, we're getting, I mean, like, yeah, to let the audience know, Jordana has been an amazing friend throughout this whole thing. And I think like, I've thanked you off air, but I'll do the thanking on air too, because it's, it means a lot to have like people you can kind of like go, like get outside of it and go, what do you think of this? Like,
right.
And to have like, and have honest people with you, people who are honest with you and ask good questions. And you've done that for me. And it's like, you know, it's really good to have a friend like you. And I know like if you, someone told me they went back and listened to you up from the beginning and they were like, their big thing was like how cool it was to see us become closer.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. It was a really nice, sweet, funny thing. And I never thought of it that way. Cause when we started the podcast, I was like, yeah, I would go, yeah, that's my friend Jordana. Like I wouldn't think of you not as a friend, but I was like, but definitely not the type of relationship that we have now. And it's,
I'm really appreciative of that too. I think through the podcast and through our friendship, I've learned a lot about not only like myself and you, obviously, but like the way, I think just that things are so much more complicated than can be even set. You know what I mean? Like people always want like the rule or the answer, and things are so much more complex than that, or a villain and a hero. And I think that we do our best to sort of like say that there's, everything's a little bit in the in between.
Yeah. I think that's like, I mean, the reason people like, and you know, maybe, you know, this, that our podcast isn't really in the sensationalism category of the iTunes charts. Like,
right.
A lot of this is diet and exercise. And like, I mean, even this conversation, like, of course, the breakup episode would be just, you know, two people that didn't work out, no like salacious details to come in. You know, like this is kind of the most you up kind of form of a breakup. We've always said the hardest breakups are the ones that happen for seemingly no reason, you know?
Right. And I mean, I think I've been on the Jess side of this more than in terms of like my own personal experiences. Like I understand the pain and how hard it can be, again, to like to go through this from the other end, from the person who's not always initiating it. But I think it is really interesting in talking to you, and I'm happy. I don't want to say nice, cause like that's weird, but like it has been like, I think something that brought us closer to sort of go over these things, and we have a dating podcast together, but just to talk about it outside of that in real life. But just to get a sense from like the other side, as someone who, if you're listening and you're like me, have been broken up with or have been had that feeling of rejection, just to understand coming from your angle that like it's not really about anything about you that you need to change personally, or it's not necessarily about like what you did wrong. And I think learning that is, or it's very hard to see in the moment, even if you're the most like self-aware or intellectual person, but like having space from it. And now, you know, now after years of doing this podcast, I look back at those relationships and I look back at those times that like, you know, people have ended it with me, or I stayed in something longer than I should have because I just was lonely or wanted to be there. And I think that I have a lot better perspective about like, you know, the larger story and like not that, not the villain, not the hero kind of thing. Cause it just, it feels easier when you're going through it to do those things. But then when you look back, I think it's a lot clearer that like, that's not really that helpful.
Yeah. It's, you nailed it. I think it's like, it's so much of a gray thing. And it's like, it's also like, we get so many emails like, oh, he ended it after 3 months. Did he just want to, is he just a fuck boy? And then it's like, he ended it after 2.5 years. Is he a sociopath who led, you know, led me along? And it's like, I think the lesson of that is like, you're never going to be fully agreed with when you're doing something that you feel is right for yourself. And, you know, as someone who I loved being liked. So it's hard. That's a very difficult thing for me. But this has been a, I don't know, therapeutic experience. But I hope, I don't know. I hope this doesn't, again, I just said I like being liked. And then I'm about to say, I hope no one hates me for this. But it's not about that. It's just about.
Right. I mean, I think the thing to remember in all these relationship questions that we have is like, no one sits out to be the villain. People are really doing the best they can, and sometimes they fuck up, and sometimes they make mistakes, or sometimes they didn't do everything perfectly. Like, I don't know if there is an ideal breakup. I would love to know. Like, I feel like the only ideal breakup is when both people are like completely over it before it ends.
Yeah, and that probably should have happened years before. You know, like they,
right.
They've wasted their own time on Earth.
That's a good point. Like the ideal breakup is a overdue waste breakup. Of time breakup. Yeah.
So, but listen, if you guys are still, are we done? Do we do it? I mean,
I think we did. I mean, if you guys have more questions, you can email them. We can't promise we will answer them, as we just talked about, since some of it is none of your goddamn business. But
some of it's just something. Like there's like that like I don't want to make it sound like there's like something to hide. There's nothing to hide. Like, but it's
right.
Just, like,
but I mean, sometimes people want to know.
I'm looking for respect, and
that's, you know, what I'm saying.
Yeah, and yeah, and again, yeah. like there's so many times I wish I had the perfect answer, and you're never gonna have that. Like, you wish you had that answer that makes everyone feel like, oh, like satisfied and I had enough food. But like, that's not how eating dinner works. Like, some people get too full, some people don't eat enough, you know, like it's just
right. Yeah.
It's never on time, just like you're saying. Like, it's like, and if it's on time, then both of you wasted a bunch of time, you know, like it's like,
that's
when
why people like a cheating breakup story, because they're like, okay, like now I can put that in that.
There's the asshole. There's the good person.
If you get sick, if you get cancer, someone wants to know it's because of something you did, so they can know how to avoid it. Yeah. Like, that's not.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it might be your phone, but we don't know. You know,
like, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the tough part about not having rules or not life being in the in between, is that like, sometimes it's just not explainable in a one sentence, this person sucks kind of way.
Yeah. Listen, again, like there is an element where I'm like, I had to like, you know, I've had days where I'm like, man, am I a fucking fraud talking about this dating? And it's like, I don't think we've ever said, I mean, I know we haven't ever said we're experts. This is a commiseration. Yeah.
I mean, I felt that way. I felt that way after every fight I've ever had with Mike, where I'm like, what the fuck do I know? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, am I the toxic one?
But it was me the whole time.
Right. And Mike will be like, yes, actually it is you.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's do some awkward sex. Let's get into a lighter mood.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Dear J&J, thank you so much for keeping me laughing during this pandemic and for all the great dating advice. Here's the story. I was casually dating a guy I met on Tinder for about a month. Chatting early on, we realized we each had a bit of a kinky side, which I found exciting. Unfortunately, I soon learned that he wasn't so much a kinky dom type. He was just more kind of lazy and always wanted me to get on top. Sigh.
It's really funny.
Oh, I love getting kinky. Oh, yeah. Why don't you get on top and I'll just lay here, you know, all kinky like.
That's so funny.
Can you imagine?
You're using like, oh, you like. Right.
Gets in.
It's like when you get someone to like clean up after you and they don't even realize that they're doing it. I love someone who takes charge and they're like, oh, yeah, so that I can not do any chores.
Yeah. Aside from that, we got along well and had fun together, so I let it go, knowing this probably wasn't a long-term match. One night, after ordering Chinese takeout and a couple of drinks, we went to bed. We'd been having sex for a little while, and I paused to get a quick drink of water. Laying there in the dark, he goes, "Want a 69? In my head, I thought,
oh my God,
because I don't really find that position overly enjoyable.
So, especially after Chinese takeout.
That's a fair point. oh, that crab rangoon was delicious. How about you put your asshole in my face?
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what goes well with overeating all of your lo mein and, you know, ribs?
Yeah, it would feel like if someone was on top of me during a 69 situation after Chinese food, they'd like, is that like, it would be like them lying on a molehill, like my stomach just protruding.
Yeah, like, nothing sounds like sexy about that. But
what do you think about 69 in general, Jordana? Are you a fan? Are you whatever? Are you against it?
I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I am not a fan. I think of it like a 2-in-1 shampoo, which I also don't use.
Mm.
Both things, the things are better when they're on their own. I find it hard to concentrate yes. on what I'm doing and enjoy the moment at the same time. I like them better when they're separate. I think when you try to combine them, like, why are we trying to combine it? It's to save time. Is it actually hotter? I just feel like I'm distracted by like what's going on either direction. What do you think?
I have the opinion that most guys love 69 for exactly the reason you hate it. Like, we're getting a lot done at once.
That's why guys like 2-in-1
exactly
shampoo conditioner.
We love 2-in-1. So yeah, plus for men. Yeah, that was like the original one. I would also say that like it kind of shows you like we get all the credibility of going down on you too. Like, you're a guy who goes down on you, and you don't have to do like the you get to just lay there. Like there's like subtle perks. Like and also seeing a woman from that angle is kind of exciting. Like, this guy says he's kinky, but he just really wants to like see what an asshole looks like. You know, like I think like that there's like the angle of it is just something that we've never seen before, and you're just, but it also should show you how mechanical men are. Like that, like you're like, I can't get in the zone, I can't concentrate on both at once. And he's like, this is the easiest fucking thing in the world. Like, lay back and move your tongue. Like, fuck yeah, keep a boner, move your tongue. I can do that. Like, it just shows you how different it is.
Totally think about it differently. For me, it's much more about like the mind getting like, you know, getting mentally in that space. And this position doesn't really do it for me in that way.
She writes, I have a big butt and I get in my own head worrying about inadvertently suffocating someone whose face I'm practically sitting on.
That's another concern.
I would say to her, that's what turns him on. Like a big butt right in your fucking face. It might kill you. It might, you know, I think that's a big part of what he likes. It's interesting that what you hate is what the guy likes.
I understand that part of it, too, where I'm like, it's kind of, I think we've talked about this before in terms of like getting picked up. It's like sometimes when you're like, oh, I'm not like a super tiny person. Like, am I going to like her? I don't want to be like awkwardly like being picked up. Or it's like with the 69 thing, it's sort of the same thing. It's like, oh, am I going to like suffocate him with my body?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Women don't really give guys the benefit of the doubt where we're like, we've done that math already. We're, you know, like, I don't think the guy's looking at you being like, oh, I might die. Yeah, do it. Let's try it anyways. Like we've looked, we've assessed it. Like, I don't think guys, again, this goes back to like, going on first dates with a guy, is he attracted to me? The penis doesn't let you do things. And it's like, this is one of those things where like the penis is like, get her to put her ass on your face. Like,
right. I think we come from it again, totally no different. Pun intended, different angles.
You're right. Inadvertently suffocating someone whose face I'm practically sitting on, but wanting to try something new with this guy who I already felt comfortable with, I agreed. To be honest, it felt pretty good. See? We were both getting into it, and after a few minutes, I got the sense he was close to finishing, so I kept it up. Instead, I got smacked in the face with a long, audible fart. I heard him whisper, "Oh my God," as I jerked backwards to escape the fart zone. At least in that moment, I wasn't worried about suffocating him. As far as I was concerned, he earned it. I got off of him, half laughing, half yelling, "This is how people get pink eye."
Can you imagine if she suffocated him just like as revenge?
Oh my God!
I'm gonna.
I swear he deserved it. It was provoked.
It's like it would be like a romance novel meets like a murder mystery.
Yes. Man,
you know.
The case of the strangling vagina. Thankfully my eyes were spared. But later on I thought, why would he want to 69 if he felt gassy? This is such a miss like this is such like a view of this situation that like is not how he's thinking at all. Well, I'm a little gassy, but let's just go for 69. Like, that's not how he's thinking.
Because he just doesn't have any sense of like planning out the situation.
Absolutely not. She writes, or are guys just not that self-aware? My nose and eyes are literally inches away from his asshole. Sincerely, Dutch Loven.
Oh, Loven. I get it. That's a good one. She's got a good that. Name.
I good think name. Great. Dutch Loven is amazing.
You have any others?
I mean, that beats all mine. Dutch
sure.
L'Oven is, I mean, chef's kiss. Two farts up. I had direct hit, the facial, and gust of gas.
I like it. I had mine was a little more like a medical term, I guess. Mm-hmm. I had the conjunctivitis cunnilingus. Which sounds like an actual medical diagnosis.
It should be. Let me add on to that. Conjunctalingus.
Yeah, I like it. They should put that in the combination in the book of disorders. Yeah,
conjunctalingus.
There you go.
Red flag or deal breaker?
I don't know. I mean, I would definitely be annoyed. It depends. Okay. I think for this one, it would depend on how much he tried to restrain the fart. And sometimes you can tell. Do you know what I mean? Did it like, was he trying really hard and it like slipped out? Because that's like kind of just a red flag. If it was like a roaring, booming,
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could see the particles.
Strength of fart needs to be considered. You're right.
Yeah. Or like, or how strong I get a sense of his attempt was to like hold it in.
So what if he's holding it in? Like, to me, that could make it more disgusting. Because if he's holding it in, all of a sudden you hear, like a balloon being pinched at the thing. You'd be like, come on, dude. How about this? You're on top of him. He throws you off, runs away, and farts. Are you better with that? He's like, get the fuck off, bitch. And he runs to the bathroom, and you hear, in the bathroom, and he like just airs it out. That's better.
That would be better if he was like, I'm so sorry, give me 1 minute. He runs to the bathroom. I'd be like, okay, I respect that. It's like, you know what I mean? Because he's like taking some of the embarrassment.
Sure.
Like, it's a little bit of a vulnerable moment. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like, I don't even give a shit.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help. Like, Chinese food,
I don't give it
especially,
to
you. I don't give there it to that might win.
That might be the name.
That's the name. Sorry, Dutch Loven. That I don't give a toot is very good. Has this ever happened to you?
No. I told you I don't like that position. Now I like it even less.
Oh no, we've ruined Mike's life. I can't say that I haven't had to fart during sex. Like, I've definitely had to fart during sex.
I mean,
it's just a matter of when it would come up that it would happen.
Well, do you do it? Do you just like let it go, or do you try to like conceal it?
No, you're trying to hold it, but then it's like that's again, like that's a concentration issue. Like, you know, got to stay hard, got to like look into this also while holding in a fart. Like, there's a lot going on. Like, I can understand this happening to this guy. Like, the idea that he just like blew it out, like, I don't think that's what happened. To me, this is a relaxation issue. He is having the time of his life. He's getting his dick sucked. He's moving his tongue around. He's just enjoying life. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, like, and just, oh no, you know?
Well, yeah, what was his reaction after that, I guess, is the other question. Like, I need someone to be a little ashamed, especially at first.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, oh my. One time, I don't know if I told this, but I was with a significant other in a hotel sharing a bath, and I thought it would be funny to fart in the bath, and it was not funny.
I wouldn't think like, it was funny either.
Well, I thought...
It's not even like a jacuzzi where the water goes in and goes out. Like, there's a filtration system.
To me, I thought it was going to be like a big, like, you know, like a aquatic aquarium, like blah, 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 blah. Like I thought it would be fun and cartoonish. And it was everything the opposite. It was very real. It was very not cartoon. It stunk. The fart stink seemed to stick. I mean,
it's probably like particles. I would be concerned as someone prone to UTIs about someone farting in my bathwater.
Yeah,
personally,
this is all fair. Listen, I remember doing it, thinking it would be funny, and then within seconds going, well, that was a huge, I'm sorry. I really didn't weigh the situation. But a great story for me to tell on my big relationship ending episode. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, we get it now.
Well, anyone that you have broken up with in the past will now feel a little bit better about that.
They should all feel great.
I'm just kidding.
Hug your kids.
That came out. Hug your kids.
It's okay. Hug your kids tighter tonight. Oh, Johnny.
As soon as I said it, I was like, that's so mean.
Kick me while I'm down, Jordana.
I'm sorry. No, you were a treat.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's do another email. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, J&J, I started listening to you a few months ago after seeing Jared's Bachelor live screams, and I am hooked. I ended a 3.5-year relationship back in December, and you guys have made getting back into the dating scene so much easier to navigate. Thanks for doing God's work.
That's right. Marketing, baby.
Now, on to my question. For context, I am a 27-year-old female, young professional, and last June I moved across the country to a city I had never been to and knowing no one. After a few months of living there, I ended my 3.5-year relationship. After 2.5 years of distance, this girl is very into the point fives. After 2.5 years of distance.
Yeah, this is a statistician wrote in.
There you go. Because he was supposed to move with me and ended up not doing so. I'm starting to date again, going on many first dates with a few leading to a second or third. I'm trying to be careful about not emotionally masturbating or putting too much pressure onto any of these situations, essentially my version of casually dating. I would eventually like a relationship, but want to be pretty picky after what happened with my ex. I recently matched with a guy on Bumble, but we haven't gone on a first date yet due to conflicting work schedules. I work in college athletics and have been on the road for the past few weekends, and he works late nights during the week. We do have plans for this week that will hopefully pan out. He has started to talk on the phone or FaceTime pretty often, and so far we seem to get along great. He is funny, cute, smart, and overall, I am loving the vibe. We've had some pretty open conversations about what we are into sexually, and he brought up to me how he's really interested in what he described as a one-way open relationship. Essentially, he is saying he wouldn't sleep with anyone else, but would want me to. He says to him, it is a turn on, and that due to him working so much and traveling, he would want me to be, to quote unquote, be satisfied even when he isn't around. He asked if I would be into that or interested, and I'm not sure what to think about it. On the one hand, I'm like, this would be great. I have a guy I'm into who likes me and wouldn't be seeing other girls, but I would be able to see other people if I wanted to. I do currently have a friends with benefits that would be hard to let go of, so this is appealing. The other part of me doesn't understand how this would realistically work. If someone was really into me, why would he want to sleep with other people? Is this just a fetish? Isn't this just essentially approved cheating? What if this turned into a long-term relationship? I don't see myself wanting to sleep around with other people once I really fell for someone. I know he got out of a 3-year relationship about 6 months ago as well. And he said they didn't do this in their relationship. Am I just scared of getting hurt again? So open to experimenting? This guy and I have really seemed to hit it off and I'm not sure what to do. Essentially, it would be me continuing to do what I'm doing, going on dates and occasionally hooking up with people, but telling him when I do see these other people. He has also mentioned how he's super into going down on women, and seeing them satisfied is a huge turn on for him. My friend and I have wondered, does this guy just have a super small penis and wants to compensate for this? Jared, I need to know what's going on in this guy's brain. Do I go for it? Jordana, what would you do? I do want to get married and have kids someday, but I know this guy does too. Is this a red flag, deal breaker, or maybe even a green flag? Help a betch out. XO, a very conflicted betch.
I have to say, I love this email because her assumption, I love that it first goes to he must have a small penis. Like,
he likes anything. Going down on women?
Jordana, would you ever do a relationship like this? Where would you ever entertain the idea of a relationship where
you
get to sleep around and he is promising he won't in the way that he's bringing this up?
I think probably not. I don't think I would be into it. I think I'm pretty into monogamy personally. And I think I would want to be monogamous with someone, especially knowing myself. Like if I'm very into someone, I'm not really looking to sleep with multiple people or date multiple people. I could see how it might work for someone else. But part of me was thinking, like when he brought this up, is this just a way of trying to keep it casual? Or is this maybe a fetish of his that he's bringing up in a more casual way?
To me, it's more fetish than keeping it casual. This is a weird, to me, it's a strange way to go about avoiding commitment. you can just go on a date and hang out and not text back instead of asking for them to go out and make sure there's here's the part. Sometimes the answers are in the email to me. She wrote the word satisfied many times or a couple times. They haven't even gone on a first date.
Good point. Yet.
She's writing this before the first date. He says that this isn't something he did in his last relationship, which ended 6 months ago. I'll take him at his word. Okay? Let's take him at his word. He gets out of relationships
before.
This is something he's doing now. To me, this guy watches a certain brand of porn and he's trying to replicate the porn that in his life that he wasn't getting from the last relationship. There's something called cuckold porn. Right. And, you know, that's when someone else is sleeping with your wife or girlfriend and you're watching or you're somehow uninvolved but involved at the same time. In my travels, I've come across such pornography.
You think he's basically pitching this, I'm really busy at work and I want to make sure you're satisfied as laying the groundwork for this.
Yeah, just that word. She wrote it in quotes. He would want me to quote unquote, be satisfied even when he isn't around. That's a very, to me, this is all in the land of fetish, where he's basically and he's trying to get agreements to his fetish. For some people with a fetish like this, even the agreement would be hot to him. Even her entertaining this, he's this is kind of hot. That she's thinking
that she's not immediately turning it down, right?
Yeah. And the reason she's looking at it, this is maybe a good situation. She's this might be great. I got a guy who likes me, wouldn't want to be seeing other girls, but I could see other people if I wanted to. But she comes around to the idea of I do want a long-term relationship. I do want to how does this work in the long term? And it's it doesn't unless you're into this as well. And which he's trying to feel. To me, this is him feeling you out for such a kink that he has discovered or knows about.
Especially, I feel like it's odd that he mentioned this even before the first date.
Yeah.
I want to be together, but you can hook up with other people. It's we haven't even met yet.
He's looking to create an arrangement so that he doesn't have to, like, you know, beat around the bush of, like, this is kind of what gets him off, I guess. Like, this is...
Right.
That's my initial assumption, just based on the way she's telling the story. Like, you haven't met. He keeps bringing up this word of satisfaction. Then he talks about going down on you and how, like, listen, I enjoy going down on a woman as well, but, like, that doesn't go with, like, the idea of, like, you know, I also don't say that after explaining, like, go fuck a bunch of other guys and then right. I'll go down. You know, like, that's...
Or would you say that, like, after a FaceTime date before actually, like, meeting someone?
Yeah,
like, I feel like there's a lot of information to know about someone before you even...
Absolutely.
Them.
And that's, to me, that's someone trying to prepare you for the thing that they want to make sure that, like, they're trying to prepare you for an uncomfortable sexual conversation, in my mind.
Right. And to me, I mean, aside
Which
from
is
all
fine.
Of
like,
this,
if he like, you know,
I think there's nothing wrong with it, but I think if you're looking for a long-term relationship, this is someone who's leading with sex and they're
absolutely.
Being very explicit. Not, there's nothing wrong with being explicit about what you want sexually, but I think there's a time and a place for that. And if you're looking for that in addition to a relationship, I think most people who are also looking for a relationship will start with, like, the getting to know you relationship stuff and weave the sex into it at least after you've met. So to me, this would be a sign that he's more in that hookup zone than relationship
yeah,
zone.
I agree with you. And especially coming out of a relationship 6 months ago, like, I'm taking him at his every word. So if you take him at his every word, out of a relationship 6 months ago, he's yearning for, you know, some sort of sexual release that, you know, he probably does in private on his own. And then he's like, he's feeling people out. And this is him feeling her out. And she's taking it as, like, you know, well, how will this go 10 years from now? And he's right. like, just fuck someone else. I need it. Like, you know, like, it's funny that they're, and she's like, maybe his penis is small and he's making it. No. Maybe his penis is small. I don't know. That's not the first thing that came to mind for me.
Right. To me, this doesn't scream like long-term relationship potential. But that being said, if she's like looking to just like kind of explore something, because she asks, is this maybe even a green flag? So maybe she's like a little bit intrigued by that idea. In which case, like, if you wanted to try it, but I would sort of go into it knowing that it's less relationship focused and more kink focused.
And if you do go on the first date with someone like this, who's kind of angling, like, I would just be like, is this what you're into? Like, I would be more curious, like, mm-hmm. Hey, not that I'm weird, because, like, everyone has a right to their own sexuality. Like, and as long as it doesn't interfere with your sexuality. And I think, like, if you're like date one, you're like, hey, I'm looking for a real relationship. But this whole idea that you've already brought up, like, I got to, like, if you do go on the date, you go like, mm-hmm. I got to know what you're kind of getting at here. Like, I would even like say it like that, like, because I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never heard of such a thing, you know?
Right. And give them the opportunity to be like real with you and maybe like even a little vulnerable with it.
And you, what you'll probably find is him going, yeah, I don't know. I this is kind of hot to me. You know, like, I think he would, you know, or he's just a liar and he doesn't ever bring it. And he like stops talking about it forever. And you guys date for a little bit and then he goes away once he finds someone who will kind of like, I mean, to me, if his angle is to get that fetish, like, he should be on different types of, you know, fetish apps that exist out there, I would assume.
Right.
We've
well,
had
he
people
probably
write in
maybe
about
he,
those in the past.
Maybe he is on those too, but he's just also on the regular ones. And his strategy is to just be like, before
cast
you get on the date, throw it out there, see if they like stop talking to you or like, you know what I mean?
He's casting a wide net.
Yeah. For sure.
Let's play some games. UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Hey guys, love the pod. You guys are the best. I think I might have a good red flag deal breaker based off my current problem with my boyfriend. My boyfriend is 26. He has been lying to me about vaping for the past 2 years. Backstory. A few years ago, I noticed he was spending too much money on disposable vapes, and I just didn't like it in general. I voiced my problem, and he said, okay, I won't buy them anymore. Over the last 2 years, he would blame the ones that I'd find getting in his passenger seat or wherever on his friend. Since I would find them and believe they were his friends, I would make jokes about him blowing clouds with his vape at work every time he would say about him blowing clouds with his vape at work. And every time he would say no.
I just love the idea of like finding vapes everywhere. Like it's a fucking like Easter egg hunt. Like I went to go brush my teeth and there was just like a vape in the sink. He's like, I don't vape. I don't know what you're talking about.
And she's like, your friend is everywhere.
It's great. I'm sorry. Continue.
And just the idea of like her making jokes. You're blowing clouds with his vape at work. And every time he would say no. Okay. This morning I woke up and had one laying next to my leg since his vape had fallen out of his pocket while we were sleeping. I coincidentally made one of those jokes before bed and he's going to bed with it. This guy has a real vape issue.
He's saying that he doesn't do it. That's the best part.
I coincidentally made one of those jokes before bed and he still denied it, knowing there was one in his pocket. He thinks it's okay because his boss pays for them, loophole, and he only does it at work, restaurant. It's not about the vaping itself. It's about him lying to me about it every time because he assumed it would start a fight. I also feel like disposable vapes are for like college kids, not 26-year-olds. We've been together for 6 years and I'm 25, if that matters. Thanks, guys. So what do you think, Jordana?
So I think this is a red flag or a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I think this is indicative of two people who are on like slightly different levels of like trying to adult and also communication issues. This I think feels it's like I can't believe she's let this go on almost for like 2 years. Like if the second time that I found a vape at my leg, like, I think I would be like, what's actually going on here? Like, you can tell me if you're vaping. Like, let's have a real discussion about it.
To me, it's more of a deal breaker for him. How does she not? She's still buying this shit? She still thinks this is like she hasn't figured this out yet?
Right. It's almost like I guess he's probably just kind of like, well, she's never made it. Like, she's kind of seems like something she's sort of annoyed about, but she kind of like keeps taking all my excuses.
Yeah, well, that's the big problem with her email is she's like, she's basically taking this like lazy lie of like it's a friend, and then she's finding vapes everywhere, and then ignoring that, and then saying her initial problem was because she said he spends too much money on them, like, and then at the end of the email she's like, don't you think college kids do that? It's like, what don't you like? Like, I don't know what she doesn't like about
them.
She's
turned off by it.
Okay, well, she's not really saying that. She starts at, you're wasting a lot of money. Then he says, well, my boss pays for them, and I only do it at work. And then she's going, well, isn't this for, aren't you a little old for that? And it's like, okay, then I don't understand. Like, it feels like she's like,
she should be real and just say,
she's not being real to me. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're both, that's what I'm saying. Both, they're not having communication issues because she's not being real about like the heart of like what's going on and he's lying to her. Mm-hmm. So what I would just say is like, hey, like you're clearly vaping. They're everywhere. This is clearly something you're into. I find it to be like kind of a turn off. Are you like,
well,
like,
I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you can go.
She needs to, to me, this is like red flag deal breaker. Is it a turnoff for you? Like, she's like, now it's like, I just don't buy that. She's like, and now he's been lying to me. I'm more mad about the lying. No, I think you're more mad. Like, I don't, now it's become the lying. First it was the money. Then it was the vape. Then it was the money that, you know, then it was that he's lying to you. Like, are you just holding on to this relationship at this point is really my question.
Right. I'm saying maybe she's kind of like, she wants a different kind of life for herself. And this vape is like the symbol of like them being in two different places, maybe having different values or wanting different things. And I think like usually most fights are about something bigger. Like the vaping to me seems like more of the symptom, but like, I think there's bigger issues in this relationship than like, is he vaping or not?
Yeah, to me, if my significant other was vaping for 2 years and I found out, I'd go, and I love them, I wouldn't be like, okay, I gotta end this. Like the vaping wouldn't, like, that's for 20-year-olds. I'd be like, no, are you addicted? Do you like it? What do you get out of it? Like, I would have more questions. It wouldn't be like, well, I don't date 18-year-olds, you know, like vapor, like TikTokers, you know, like that's not my response.
To me, this is a sign that she feels like she's like more mature than this guy or like is ready for more quote unquote like adult grown up things. And they're in different places. So I think that's the real discussion.
Totally.
That she wants to have with this person. She should have that.
Would it be a red flag or deal breaker for you?
They were vaping?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's the kind of thing where if I discover that, like, first couple dates, I might be turned off enough to not go out with them again. But if I were with them long term, like if I found 20 vapes hidden all around this apartment, I just imagine, we'd have to talk about it.
She goes into the cookie jar to pull out a cookie, another vape.
I go to use my air fryer. There's a vape in there. It's hiding them.
Seven of them.
Right. Yeah, I would have hoped that I'm sure that would accompany other weird behaviors that I would Absolutely. Have noticed. Okay.
Let's do another.
Let's see. Okay. Red flag or deal breaker. They text you solely using voice messages before you've even met in real life. I matched with this guy on Hinge and we talked on the app for about 2 days before I gave him my number and I said we should meet up. When we started texting to plan a date and almost all of his texts came as voice messages, like where you press the mic and record yourself speaking rather than just writing it out. We ended up not going out for other reasons, but I found this so strange. I didn't want to send voice texts back and felt especially awkward since we hadn't met. Thoughts?
So there's a couple of different voice message people that are out there.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is privacy. There's like, I know some people who exclusively do voice messages and it feels like it's because they're a certain level of celebrity. As crazy as that sounds.
Really?
Not to say I'm texting with all these celebrities, but I'm just saying there's a very...
Because they don't want it screenshotted?
I guess so. It feels like they're trying... So I agree that there's a turn off to this where it's like, are you...
It's Matthew
trying
Perry.
To avoid... It's no. Matthew Perry. Are you trying to avoid being called out in a certain way? I would also say this is a very LA thing. So that kind of goes with the fame thing because they're driving more. Mm-hmm. So instead of texting and driving, they're doing, it's easier for them to just do a voice memo. So maybe that's why I think of fame because I think of people in LA and I think of like all that stuff and it kind of works in it. So the driving and voice message thing go together. If it's a New York person, it goes into douche land for me.
I feel like moms do this. Like I've seen like middle-aged women do this.
That is really is your yeah. like my mom wouldn't even know how to do
not
a voicemail.
Not my mom, but other moms. Other like I've seen it on like Real Housewives. Moms. Like Real Housewives where they like record the message and then they send it.
Well, Real Housewives like, that works into the famous
maybe,
thought that I have.
But I was thinking like maybe they're just bad like we're so used to like you know, knowing how to text super fast or something like maybe it's just like faster for them.
I don't know. I that kind of goes into the world of like they don't want to be screenshot and posted
possibly
on
New
York Post. You know, like I just think you have if they're driving, that's a good enough excuse for me. If it's not driving, I go, what are you trying to hide or what are you trying to get ahead of in the future that you're going to want to hide?
Right. I would go on the date, though.
I would go on the date. A first date? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course. I just want to see, you know.
And I'd make fun of them for a little bit for it. And then, like, I'd see what their reaction was. Yeah.
And I want to see them show up to the restaurant with big sunglasses and a big feather boa and, you know, just to see how much of an asshole they look like.
To me, it seems easier to send, I get the in terms of like the screenshotting thing, it seems easier to like forward on a voice message.
Well, because you can screen record, I guess?
Or you can just like download the file. Like,
no, you
just
you,
as much.
They disappear.
Oh, they do?
You can do a voice message on. I've gotten them. The problem with them is you can't, you have to get back to them right away because you'll forget. So, like, I've gotten them from people, and I go, I'll get back to them, and then I'm like, oh, shit. Like, at least with a written message, you can get back to, like, the message. Like, oh, what were we talking about? Like, or what was the last thing we were talking about? Like, that's why it
feels... Interesting. I didn't know they disappear.
Yeah, they don't stay there forever.
So, I thought it was like an audio file. Sammy Fishbein does this. She's the only person I know who does them, and she'll send them to me when she has like a story to tell me.
Yes.
But she doesn't want to type it out.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable too. I've had that happen too, where this is too much, but I'm just going to voicemail, you know, that message. But that's a once in a while thing. This isn't someone that like immediately gets off the apps and all of a sudden.
Right. Like, yeah, to me, she wouldn't do that like casually.
Yeah. There's a plotting to it that comes with it to me, but I definitely would go on the first date and feel them out. It wouldn't be the ender.
Agreed. I'd have to like know a little more about it.
Yeah. Let's do one more. You ready?
I'm ready.
Red flag or deal breaker, they don't shower after coming home from the airport. Ooh, this is a good one. Inspiration. My boyfriend is flying home from a bachelor party that's landing at 8 p.m. tonight. I kept thinking how grateful I am that he's the type of person who will have to get clean before getting in our bed. To me, the red flag is not seeing the grime of air travel. Would love to hear your thoughts.
So I felt pretty gross myself after reading this because if I take a red eye, I go right into bed. So I guess this girl wouldn't date me. Which
no, you're out.
I'll have to come to terms with.
Not to scare the shit out of this girl, but like your boyfriend coming home from a bachelor party and immediately getting in the shower. There's some other like things going on there that could be happening. I'm not saying that he's cheating, but I'm saying like, you know, there's a first sprint to like, let me get clean. You know, like yeah. It's kind of could be happening.
I agree. That's a good point. It's not like he's coming back from like a visiting his grandma in like another state. Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, I would change. I'm trying to now defend myself from my disgustingness thoths.
Well, here, I change here's
clothes.
Another
I would like put on like pajamas or something.
Are you someone who takes a shower after using the subway? There's some people, or like we've had that in the past. They get in their, they're in their clothes that they sat in the subway and they're sitting on a bed. Like some people are grossed out by that, and I've never thought of it that way. But it is kind of, I get where they're coming
right.
from.
I mean, post COVID world, I'm definitely grossed out by a lot more things than I like was before. And there's a lot of stuff I would do before or like not think about before that now I'm kind of like, oh, like germs, gross. The subway thing, I feel the same way about the plane. I'll change clothes, but I don't need to like shower.
Yeah. I fly more than most people, and I've gotten back from a flight been like, fuck this. I need to get right into fucking bed. Like I've never thought twice about it, but I'm also like, you know, I think some of this has to do with what you wear on a plane. I'm like in moisture wicking. Like I prepare for a flight like I'm getting ready for like battle. Like I have like clothes that I would only wear on a plane. I have like, you know, it's all like I'm lulu'd out. I look like I'm ready to like take the kids to soccer practice in a suburban town. Like I am like a matcha drinking mom.
You're like George Clooney and up in the
up
air.
In the air. Yeah, that's right? Me.
He's like, just no like connections, no friendships, just miles.
Jordana, you're really hitting me at the heart in this breakup episode.
I'm sorry. I am being very cruel. No, he winds up happy at the end, I think. I don't really remember.
We have that same empty apartment.
And then he goes in to Omaha. Like a niece's wedding and he's like, you know, Uncle Jared's never... I haven't seen you in years.
I would say that it's not if I was with a woman who like we got back from the airport and she was like, let's get into bed, I wouldn't think twice of it.
Okay. So you're indifferent.
Indifferent to this. Like I do get that it's gross, but like it also depends how long the flight was. Hour and a half flight? Who the fuck cares? We, you know.
Yeah, I'm same. I don't think I would. I do it, so I guess I don't care.
Listen, I'm not like looking to go down on them. Like, there's nothing worse than like, you know, flight funk. Like, I know my balls, not great after a flight. Like,
that's a good dating app prompt.
Well, we solved dating again, right, Jordana?
There you go. We did it. Another week. Thank you for your vulnerability this episode. Thank you for sharing on behalf of the listeners. I know it's like not easy to talk about any of this stuff.
Yeah, I hope me like, you know, I'm laughing at the end of the show, but like yeah, it all sucks. And I appreciate your friendship, and you know, I appreciate the listeners. Like, I'm sure I'll get nice messages. I'm sure I'll get, I don't know, who knows. I hope I don't get, you know, I hope nothing. I had no intent to, you know, to hurt anyone by telling the story. So,
well, I think you did a very good job. So, oh,
I appreciate it. Yeah, listen, as usual, we agree to agree. And
that a we nice, healthy data. Non-debate. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I like
yeah,
that. We'll agree to agree.
we have a great episode coming this Sunday, another Sunday special. So, but keep telling your friends. I mean, this is, we kind of talked about in the beginning. This is really, this podcast is made for times like right now. A lot of things going on, a lot of room for commiseration. The summer's coming, things are opening up, dates are happening. Right, Jordana?
Exactly. We'll be there with you in your ear. And rate, review, and subscribe. We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.